Hey BJ, this is Gary. I'm from Montclair, New Jersey, but I live in Atlanta now. And I've been following you for a long time, man. I appreciate your contributions to training and personal fitness. Your story is inspirational, man. And just keep reaching the masses, man. Keep doing what you do, man. I have a question and I have a comment. First question is about training systems. You know how you got your single set, drop set, pyramid, all of those things. Is there a particular training system that you lean towards the most? If so, why? And my comment is, I remember that podcast you did about the easiest way to build muscle. It was a real short one. And I just want you to know, man, that I applied that. Like I tried it. And wow, the pump that I got, from that just really encouraged me to check my ego at the door, man. I'm 45 years old.
Yo, this is BJ Godore with the weekly BJ Podcast, and shout out to my main man, Gary Rozier from ATL, originally in Jersey, but you're in ATL right now, and I'm going ATL because I just played the song Welcome to Atlanta. My favorite version of that song is the remix with Puff Daddy on it. So those listening on Anchor heard that. The best listening experience is always on Anchor because you hear music. And you can also jump on there, free app for Apple and Android devices, and ask me questions like Gary. So I can get your voice on here because it's all about you guys. That's what this podcast is all about. I will answer questions and dedicate episodes to one individual at a time because I care, I love you, and that's what it's all about. Gary, man, thank you so much for your support. I have seen your beautiful avatar and kind, supportive comments for a while now. It means a lot to me, man. You're obviously really into the craft of fitness and training, and I'm sure you're doing amazing things helping those that work with you daily. Keep it up, man. And today's episode is about wearables and whether or not I think they're worth investing in. We'll get to that next, but I'm going to quickly answer Gary's question on, my ideal training system or my signature style sauce. I'd highly recommend that you check out a past episode where I really dive into this deep. Episode 44, Training for Fat Loss versus Muscle Gain, one of my more popular episodes. A really great way to break down the difference between fat loss and muscle gain, and ultimately the approaches I have in my different programs. I think you might enjoy that. Before I get into it, Gary, please tell me you've been to Freaknik in Atlanta. Never been. I've only seen videos. It looks wild. So maybe jump back on, leave me a voice message, let me know if you've been at Freaknik, and give me the cliff notes. Should I visit at some point in my life? Should I attend the event at some point in my life? Is it a bucket list type of thing? I need to know. Please, Gary, I need to know. All right. So, training systems. And again, I think a lot of, obviously, my approach. It's all about, lowest cost, highest return. Exercise selection really is a way I differentiate myself from other trainers. Because again, I'm not worried about what it looks like or what people think about me based on what movements I'm doing. I'm just trying to get the maximum return from my investment in time with as little cost to my body as possible for longevity. So that's a big thing too. But I was also one of the guys that really popularized the concept of timed sets, specifically initially for metabolic conditioning circuits, but then specifically for bodybuilding, because almost all bodybuilding historically, traditionally, has been based on repetition. And for me, it's all about time and tension. We know this, right? That's what your body knows. Doesn't matter what tool you're using, et cetera. Your body knows how much tension is being created within the muscles themselves and how long your muscles are under tension. That's the interaction. Those two variables, the interaction of those two variables determine the entire training effect and the value of the workouts you're doing. So for me, instead of worrying about reps and counting reps, which is difficult and ultimately we know actually creates competitive aspects within the brain. If you're worrying about counting, it's hard to focus on the movement and get the most out of it. Let's just put you in certain time under tensions or work periods that emphasize certain qualities, right? So shorter work periods allow for heavier loads, faster explosive movements, more power, strength. Medium duration work periods, let's say 30 to 60 seconds, going to give you that kind of sweet spot of shred meets gains. More of hypertrophy effect, more glycogen depleting, muscle burning. And then you got the longer duration, 1 to 2+ minute sets or 90 to 120 second plus sets. Very focused on building stamina and, pump and burn and lighter loads, extreme time under tension, stability focus, and the interaction of all those things. So that's kind of something that I really popularize in the space. a lot of people love it, and some people don't ever try it because they're so caught in doing traditional set rep parameters. So again, there's no right or wrong way. This is just my way. It's my kind of signature style, and that's what I mentioned on a previous episode, the 37 years, 37 lessons, is if you are a trainer that wants to kind of do big things, you certainly want to follow a lot of other influencers and pioneers in the field, but ultimately you want to make something that's your own signature sauce, your own signature style, secret sauce, right? And that really differentiates. But there are also a lot of other trainers that maybe aren't as focused on doing that, but they're more like into the motivational side, human behavior, the accountability piece, or more business side. So they like to use other people's training systems that fit with their style so they can focus on their stuff. There's no right or wrong way, by the way. I have a lot of trainers that are members of the dailybj.com or gorillacorngains.com because they get ideas for their programming. I'm honored by that because, you know, for me, that means my stuff is actually impacting more people than I could alone because I have all these great trainers, great-minded individuals. Because again, if you follow me, I said this before, you're smart. This is a curated audience. It's never going to be, you know, millions of people because I require too much work from you guys. I'm not going to spoon feed you. I'm going to empower you. My goal is to basically start discussions, pass down wisdom and knowledge, but put you in a situation where you have to start thinking what's best for you based on schedule, time, goal, etc. And I want you to make this work for your lifestyle. And my lifestyle is different than yours. There might be similarities, sure, but I want you to be able to empower yourself and become a master of your own body, of your own diet, of your own way of living, and let fitness be a small part, but a significant part in making your life the best it can be. So that's my whole thing. So quickly on this, before I get into the wearable section, fat loss, all right, is more about metabolic conditioning. And that's what I offer at thedailybj.com. It's the 352 whole body training split. Three whole body workouts a week, about 30 minutes or less. 52 weeks a year, and you get at least a day of rest between workouts, and the classic split is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you get 2 days off on the weekend, which is great. It really works well for social schedules, calendars, especially the summer, maximizing the recovery process, mitigating stress. It's really the key for longevity. I'm all about that. And minimal equipment, and mostly bodyweight dumbbells and bands because, again, I know the busy parent professional. That was my clientele back in the day in Milwaukee. So I was immersed in that clientele. We had to make things convenient, accessible. And it's great to have access to the best equipment, but can you travel with it? Do you have it at home? You know, I'm all about creating situations of no excuses. So minimal equipment is what it's all about. And again, that's my style. I know how to make, I was kind of a MacGyver of fitness. Like I did shit with towels and walls and stuff. People, I did a suitcase workout one time, the six-pack suitcase workout in a hotel room back in the day. There's been so much, and for those, there are people listening who don't know who MacGyver is, even though they did a remake recently, I believe. But he's basically just a guy that could like take a Swiss Army knife and make it an explosive weapon. He could find ways to make anything what he wanted it to be, right? He just hacks for different stuff. So I was an expert of these hacks with minimal equipment, minimal time. And the fat loss style is all about alternating between non-competitive movements that work your whole body. Because what that allows you to do is keep the rest period short, the intensity high, the focus is on elevating heart rate, maximizing calorie burn, using strength movements to create a cardio effect as if you felt like you just went for a run. But you did resistance training, which actually, if not, at least it maintains muscle mass, if not simulates growth. And you create a systemic metabolic effect. It's not optimum for muscle gain. You can still build functional muscle mass, but it's not about that. It's about general fitness, getting as many qualities developed in a short period of time and time sets again. So an example would be, let's say it's 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off, five movements. It could be goblet squats, push-ups, kettlebell swings, inverted rows, and then it could be like a mountain climber or a med ball slam or a core cardio movement as that fifth movement. And you would cycle between those movements, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off for 20 to 30 straight minutes. You get all these effects in one, right? That was my start. That's what really got my start in fitness and what people kind of have people still follow me for that, you know, and that's what people saw in DVDs like Speed Shred, Meta Shred. And then within the last 3 to 5 years, I made more of a shift because, once you get lean, it's all about maintaining that level of leanness, if not solely improving upon it. But now it's a lifelong journey of building muscle. So I created this metabolic bodybuilding or Metagain style of training, which is more about, instead of whole body workouts, we go with an upper lower body split, 4 to 6 total workouts a week, alternating upper and lower each day. And instead of non-competitive moves, we go more competitive. So we stack competitive exercises for the same muscle groups. An example could be, let's say, for a leg day, I could do, you know, heavy alternating lunges into goblet squats, minute 1, heavy alternating lunges, minute 2, goblet squats, minute 3 could be split jumps or something to that nature, right? Where I am laser focused on a certain muscle group or body zone, and I'm trying to get as much blood into the area as possible, maximize the mind-muscle connection. And because of the stacking, I can actually stimulate multiple training effects at once. I could go heavier weights in that first minute, and then I extend the time under tension with, you know, the next groupings, either bumping the load down or going to an easier variation or just extending it in some way. And now I can actually create more of a muscle building stimulus and pump and burn, metabolic stress, etc. And again, light loads go a long way. So that's a big theme there. And I do a lot, and this is my metabolic bodybuilding style at GorillaCornGains.com. That's Gains with a Z. And we do a lot of 3-minute rounds. And there's still timed sets, but again, there will be a lot of things where I'll do, you know, minute 1, minute 2, minute 3. And there's 3 moves for a similar area of the body back to back to back. Sometimes it's like 4 moves, 45 seconds each. Sometimes it'll be 3 moves, but 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off. I want to get more intensity, or there's more of a transition time required between movements. It's all over the map. And sometimes it could be a single movement, by the way. We do a lot of 3-minute bear crawls, 3-minute lunging, and we can switch up the variation, the load, etc. And I do work in some, you know, what we do with the Metcon, it's more limited, right? It's more about 5 to 10 minute Metcon HIIT protocols being peppered in small doses, because once you're lean and you're doing more of these higher level strength muscle gain workouts, still with relatively minimal equipment. Almost all the stuff is like, the only barbell stuff is with a landmine setup where you put a barbell into a corner of a wall and you use the other end to hold with your hands and do, you know, presses or squats or whatever. But mostly dumbbell, kettlebell, band. You can modify some of the band stuff with cables. But that's what it mostly is. And by the way, in both, I incorporate boxing because the conditioning aspect, the fast switch fiber work, the coordination, the reflexes, the brain training, the low impact nature of it. But we still pepper in the HIIT and Metcon in much smaller doses because, again, you're already lean, and now too much Metcon, too much HIIT can actually impair recovery when the goal is building muscle. So hard gainers, you know, it's definitely a better option for hard gainers or those that are, you know, have never had a problem with being overweight, because this is more of about a muscle gain stimulus. Those that are prone to being heavier, more endomorphic body types, indoor, they're not really interested in getting jacked, but they just want to be lean, muscular, like a typical, you know, let's say Men's Health cover model, buck 75, lean, athletic. You can see some muscle separation, some definition, but they're not, you know, they're not like commando. They're not like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando, right? Or Terminator 2. But they don't want that, and it's not worth their time, right? It's just not the look they're going for. Everybody's got a different look. It's all about your individual goal. But if you want to be like the most jacked dude in your hood, that's what the Gorilla Corn Gain style is, the metabolic bodybuilding stacks. So, but to finish this off, by the way, before I get into the wearables, I'm actually developing a new kind of BJ beta training system where I'm fusing in the same training week my metabolic bodybuilding style with the fat loss Metcon stuff you see at thedailybj.com. It's basically going to be, I think, my Gorilla Corn Gains 2.0. Which is going to be, I think, more accessible, ideally lower cost, but better for longevity, and again, more mixed training stimulus, because I think it's very tough for people over 30 to do 4 to 6 of these workouts a week, and I just know that based on feedback. They're doing it, but, you know, I've been experimenting more than ever, just turning 37, like, how little can I do? And the split I've been using has been, like, super great. I've been recovering. My recovery's been off the charts. I actually have more energy, and I can hit my workouts harder this way. I'm only doing 4 workouts a week now versus 6. And I have 3 active recovery off days. The 4 workouts consist of 1 upper body gains day. That's the metabolic bodybuilding style. 1 lower body gains day. Maybe I'll do those on Monday and Tuesday. Then I could take Wednesday off. And then there's the remaining 2 workouts of the week are kind of total body shred. Mixed Metcon circuits, complexes, and boxing interspersed as well, and that could be like Thursday, Saturday, or it could be Thursday, Friday, and then take weekends off. There's a lot of ways you can structure, but it's really just four workouts a week with three active recovery days. And that beta, by the way, is going to be rolling out the date of recording this. It's mid-September, September 19th. And the final quarter of 2019, this is the last chance you can join my online coaching group in its current format. It'll change for next year. So if you're looking for the higher level intensive coaching, the time is now to jump in at GorillaCornGains.com. That's Gains with a Z. Direct links are in the show notes. So that is my training system, and I hope that answers. And if there's anything I missed or anything you wanted me to dive in deeper there, hit me with that voice message and just mention it after you talk about Freaknik. So I'm curious. And by the way, you got cut off in the voice message. I think they only allow a minute. I'm not sure. But I appreciate you reaching out, Gary. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to talk about whether or not wearables, and we're talking like things like Fitbit, Apple Watch, whatever, are worth it. Stay tuned. Yo, we're back. Time to discuss wearables. And again, full disclaimer, I have no association with any of the devices or companies that I'm discussing in this episode, but I've used enough wearables that I have a definite take on it and some recommendations. And ultimately, whatever I say, do whatever you want to do with this stuff. You know, there's an investment involved in a lot of ways. Probably not mandatory. I mean, that'll be the bottom line. These aren't mandatory, but they do have some value, especially, in my opinion, the Apple Watch. But I was first exposed when I was at Men's Health. Again, people send us shit all the time. And I had the Fitbit, and I'll be completely honest, I didn't like it. I felt it was very inaccurate, especially the heart rate. Heart rate was never accurate or correct based on what I was doing. Like, I'd be doing, like, split squat jumps, which usually will get me 150 BPM plus minimum. Sometimes I can get as high as 170 plus. I've been, 180 plus on some of these real dynamic, explosive, whole body type movements. And it was sometimes be like 90 BPM. So it was way off. And it might just be, in fairness to them, I haven't tried their latest versions, but that was like 3 or 4 years ago and just didn't like it. And I will say that, one of those moments where it's like, wow, I need to, like, my wife probably should have divorced me, or maybe I should have been checked into some sort of institution. You wear these things, and like the goal is that you want to get to like 10,000 steps. And there was one night we're at this, living in this apartment in Allentown, Pennsylvania, just outside of the Emmaus headquarters at Men's Health. And it's midnight, and I'm about to go to bed. And I look and I see I've got like 150 steps to go to hit 10,000. You want to hit the goal. And I'm like, okay, let me just fucking run in place really quick and hit this goal. And I start running. My wife walks in. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what is wrong with you? And I said, look, I'm trying to hit this activity goal. And she's just like, I can just tell. She's like, oh boy. She, like, I think she realized she's in too deep. She was questioning her overall life choices and decision-making and marrying me. I think she's happier with her decision now, but I think that was the period of time where, like, we're transitioning. We're not sure what's going on. And I was still like really obsessive compulsive about this stuff, and it just took over my life. And I ran in place, I fucking hit the goal, but I couldn't go to fucking sleep. So I basically, the most important thing you can do for anti-aging health is to get your 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night, but I lost that given night because I had to get to 10,000 steps, even though I was already pretty close. That's where I think this stuff can get dangerous. You become, I have always been a little bit more of an addictive personality, obsessive, compulsive about things, perfectionist. So at least that point in my life, it wasn't a good thing. And I just got rid of it. And again, inaccurate. And it just did not, it wasn't good for my personality with exercise and my relationship to exercise at the time. So it may have improved since then, but my experience with Fitbit was I didn't enjoy it and it wasn't very good. So sorry if anybody is associated with Fitbit. That's just my honest opinion. It's possible it's improved and they've changed. Then I shifted into, and we actually had him on the podcast. His name's Joel Jameson. He created this app in heart rate variability and resting heart rate tracking device called Morpheus. So you can reference that past episode with Joel Jameson. I'll put that episode in the show notes, by the way, for those that want to listen. It's a very good episode. He's an expert on recovery and conditioning, one of the best in the field. and we really deep dive into it. So I won't do too much on it now since we've already done that with the expert himself, you know, answering questions that I guided him through in the episode. But he also has, like, you know, it comes with an app too. There's certain devices you can put on your finger or wear on your chest that you wake up in the morning, it tells you your heart rate, but also your heart rate variability, which means, you know, how variable your heart rate is over the course of time. And that's an indicator of your recovery. If you're overtrained, undertrained, if you should work out that day or not. And I used it for some time and I definitely found some value, because what I found is it told me what I was feeling through numbers. Like the days that I was not ready to train, I just didn't feel like training, I would get a really high reading, like a higher resting heart rate or poor score on my heart rate variability. And so I was like, oh, so this is, I guess what I'm feeling is exactly what these numbers show. It was very rare when there would be the occasional time where it said that I was recovered, but I didn't feel like training that day. So there is sometimes this issue where physically you can be recovered, but mentally could be stress, you know, the grind of life, the gym, whatever, that you just don't feel like training that day, even though you're physically able and ready. And honestly, at this point in my life, even on those days, I look to just modify in some way and do more lower intensity active recovery, because then I just know the session's not going to be quality. I don't want to put in garbage sets or garbage workouts at this point in my life. I'd rather just do fewer sessions and make them count. And, you know, 37, I need more recovery at this stage in my life, and I'm okay with that. So definitely found some value in it, but, you know, there were some times where, like, I had trouble getting readings in the morning, and I'd be there for like 30 minutes with this thing on my finger trying to get the reading. And I'd have to wake up immediately and do it while laying down, because that's going to be the most accurate way to get a resting heart rate. And again, my wife's over there looking at me like she's trying to talk to me. I'm like, shut up, because I'm trying to relax and get the best reading. You know, so again, obviously, I've got problems. I mean, but you know this. You know this, man. So look, it is what it is. Nobody's perfect. We're all flawed. And some, like myself, more flawed than others. So it just became kind of a nuisance to me. And ultimately, I'm so in tune with my body at this point. I know when to train and not to train, and when to modify and not modify, and when to push it and when to call it another day. Call it a day and live to see another workout or another day. I know that at this point in my life. And the heart rate readings were solid for the recovery piece of it, like heart rate and resting heart rate and heart rate variability, but they weren't the best when it came to actual training. And he even said in the disclaimer of that, like, if you're doing high intensity interval stuff, really fast, rapid movements, it's hard for the device to really track your heart rate. So I think it has value, especially if you're someone who's prone to overtraining and needs to see those numbers to tell you when to stop. And you're not yet at the point where you've kind of reached enlightenment and you can actually put a fail safe on yourself, or a speed check, so to speak, like, you know, to know when to cool it and modify and take the day off and live to see another workout. I see a lot of value in something like Morpheus. So definitely listen to that episode if you're someone who is prone to overtraining and doing, you know, more of the more is more approach and needs visual readouts or numbers to check themselves. I think Morpheus is pretty cool and I would check it out, and way better than Fitbit. Over the last 6 months, I got an Apple Watch, and I originally, you know, was thinking about doing it because a video guy I worked with at Men's Health that I really love and dig, his name's Matt Cipilli, one of the best video editors and just great guy to work with. Awesome guy. I miss him every day. We had some fun times together, and he got one to help him, you know, just be more active. And he was actually a ridiculous distance runner in high school. But, you know, he's a video guy, long days, edits, you know, family. And he said he had gained some weight and wants to get back in shape. And he found value in it just giving him numbers. And by the way, he's more of an analytical guy. That's the thing with a lot of this stuff too. If you have an analytical mind and you need to see numbers and that helps you set goals and be compliant, these devices do, I think, have their place. Especially in the beginning, you know, when you just need to get the habits. Like, once the habits are in there and they're hardwired into your DNA, just like brushing your teeth, taking a shit, shaving, showering, hopefully you do all those things, those are important too, you know, then you don't probably need this stuff as much. But I will say about the Apple Watch, the most accurate heart rate monitor I've ever used. Legit. Like, and the only time I would ever need to take off the Apple Watch is when you're doing kettlebell training, because, like, if you hold the kettlebell in the rack position, or do snatches and the belt comes over the wrist, you can damage the screen. So that's the only flaw I see in the Apple Watch. There's some, there sometimes like very, very fast movements. Sometimes you can't get a readout as quickly or as accurately, or anytime like you're overly gripping something and there's like blood engorging into the forearms due to the gripping, it can throw off the readout a little bit. But like in general, I mean, very, very accurate. That's been my experience with the heart rate. You can wear it in the shower. I still have it on when I go into the ocean and do bodyboarding or just water drills, swimming. And I've really enjoyed it, actually. It's also nice and stylish and sleek. And again, I have no deal with Apple. Trust me, I bought this myself and they would never work with someone named BJ. So it's okay. I'm doing okay. But I like it a lot. And frankly, it's been great. Like from the standpoint of being a trainer, making programs and choosing exercises for particular goals or training effects, it's really fun to see the heart rate readouts and some of this stuff. Part of the reason I've been incorporating so much boxing now into my own training, but also the dailybj.com, is because it travels well. It's equipment free. It's safe. It's skill based. But man, like ridiculous heart rate responses. I crush in a 1 hour boxing workout between 1,000 and 1,200 calories. And again, it's all based on, you know, being 6'2", 225. So if you're a smaller individual or, you know, I don't want to say not as fit, but like, you know, the fitter you are, the harder you can push for longer, right? So I've been training since I was 14. I'm 6'2", 225. So I crush calories in my workouts in general, but specifically with boxing. All of these boxing drills and stuff I've done, minimum heart rate of 150. And usually I push the heart rate to 170 to 180 BPM plus. And I've never been leaner for as long with as little of an obsession about my fitness. So that was just one thing. Again, as I talked about in past podcasts about aging or, you know, fit over 40, fit over 60, you know, I'm not stressing the heavy lifting and muscle building as much as I may have in my 20s, early 30s. And I'm focusing more on conditioning now, because that is a weakness that I've identified that I really want to develop, because I'm pretty good on the strength muscle building side. I'm not saying I don't want to squeeze out more in a slow, steady way, but you know, to me, it's about weaknesses and being more well-rounded and getting more of the athletic condition and the functional aspects to what I do. And frankly, adding the boxing has improved me as a programmer and a trainer, because now I can create more diverse workouts, more creative workouts, and people love the cardio effect, you know, so that's been great to put into the workouts. But it's just great for me to see now the drills that get your heart rate up more. If I don't want the heart rate up as much, I want it more of an active recovery, I know which drills can do that based on the readout. So that's been fun. It's made me a better programmer, and it's been really great just, you know, seeing these workouts in action. And it's been good for, I set these activity goals. So you do this with the watch. So I set the highest activity level because, of course, I'm a high performer. But I know also, as someone who used to be overweight, anytime you've been someone who has been overweight in the past, you have a bigger caloric burden you have to cover on an everyday basis. They've done research on this. Whereas someone who is, let's say, the same guy, two guys, one has been 225 his whole life. He came out, like the vagina that he came out of was just torn because he was 225. No. But he's been 225 in most of his adult life. And then there was another dude who was 300 pounds. But then he lost the weight to get to 225. That dude who lost the weight to get to 225 will have an extra daily caloric burden he has to cover to not go back up to that weight. Because once you create fat in your body, it is a life. It is one of those things, like the best way to not get fat is to never get fat. You know what I'm saying? Like this has been shown in research. So whether it's through exercise or diet or both, let's say there's 250 to 500 calories extra that have to be accounted for the person who is newly 225 versus the person who has always been 225. So for me, I set a higher activity goal because I just need more outside the gym activity or NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, to stay leaner than someone who has always been 225 and was never fat. That is my burden, you know, and that's why I'm an advocate. Like, just if you're a parent, and I'm going to do an episode on this, by the way, in helping kids deal with being overweight and prevent that from happening. You know, just the best way to not deal with weight issues is just to never get fat in the first place. But if you already are, you know, just accept it. This is a burden that I have to deal with, and I will always have to get more activity than the average 225-pound guy to look a certain way. And I'm cool with that. It is what it is. So I set a 1,000-calorie daily move goal, And then I set a minimum 30-minute per day exercise goal, which means that, and by the exercise, the way they seem to do it is just as long as my heart rate gets to like 90 to 100 BPM or more, it counts it as exercise. So I'm at least doing something that like, and it's usually like an aggressive, brisk walk with the dogs, or maybe it's me testing out workouts or whatever else, or me in the ocean bodyboarding. That's been great too, because I've now proven to myself by seeing my conditioning, my body weight maintenance and my body fat percent maintenance, that I can do more fun stuff and stuff that is outside the gym to actually hit my activity goals. Like bodyboarding and running around in the water, I combined with, you know, a 30, 60 minute walk, I can actually hit my 1000 calorie goals that day. You know, playing, so I've been doing some like fun stuff on Sunday fun day, just going to the Pepperdine University basketball court and just shooting around for an hour and having fun. And I get like 800 calories burnt in an hour, and it's great. I'm in nature. I'm seeing palm trees and ocean. It just, so for me, I love to get out in the environment more now, and just, I don't want to live in the gym the way I used to. So it's been fun to show me, okay, yeah, I can go for a hike in the canyons now and get a great workout. And so that's been excellent too. But I almost always hit my 1000 calorie move goal. And I almost always get, you know, 30 minutes per day of some light exercise, right? Some movement that gets the heart rate up high enough that it's not at a resting seated state. And that's been great. And I think that's key for people. Maybe you set a 500 calorie goal, but you know, you got to pick the right goal for you. The other two things which have been interesting, and I did not expect to see the value in it, is I get standing reminders on the hour every hour. And this is important too, because, you know, I do two plus hour podcasts, or I'm doing work for extended periods of time, or, you know, and when I'm in my chill mood and I have a little weed on the weekends, I can like lay on the couch for hours and watch TV with my wife or whatever, right? But I get these reminders to stand up, and I just got to move around. I go to the bathroom quicker, take a drink of water, play with the dogs, do a quick stretch, whatever. And I felt so much better now over the course of the day, because I never really, standing is brutal. I will give Apple credit. You know, they've identified the three key factors for health performance. And the three big things they do is there's these activity goals you set, which I just discussed. They give you standing reminders during the day every hour. And the goal is to stand 12 times per day. And I almost always hit that because they give me reminders. And then they also get, you know, randomly throughout the day, and I don't know how they do this, but it almost always comes at a time where like I need to breathe and de-stress or unwind or just take a moment. And it reminds me to breathe and just take a minute to breathe. And you can actually breathe with the watch and just take a minute of deep inhales and exhales through your belly, your diaphragm, which is proven to actually shift you from a fight or flight, wound up, tight ass, fucking white knuckle driver type of state, and go more rest, recover, digest, calm the system, and just get in touch with your body and just take a moment. And those have been helpful too. And the watch, actually, you press start and it gives you the cadence with which to breathe, which is really helpful because a lot of people don't know how to breathe. And it's one of the most important foundational things, like literally like the importance of breathing. I'm going to do a podcast on it at some point, but it's a weaker area for me. And I've always had trouble breathing because of a really narrow nasal passageway. And, but I want to dig into it because I think it is like the most important thing we need to look at now, because literally you can last without food for weeks or longer based on how much fat you have in your body. You can go without water for a couple of days, but if you don't get air or oxygen for 3 to 5 minutes, you go brain dead. So you tell me what's the most important thing that we need to focus on. Breathing is pretty critical, man. So those breathing reminders, and again, that's why it's not just about fitness. This is where like the health and wellness component come in. But still, like sometimes with the Apple Watch, like I'll get a reminder at like 11:38, like I did 11:38 at night the other day. You're doing great, but a brisk 22-minute walk will help you achieve your move goal. And I'm like, I'm not going to go for a fucking walk at midnight. Whereas maybe the BJ 3 or 4 years ago would have been like, okay, I'll just hit the road quick, or I'll run in place. So I'm in a better place mentally now. I'm not as obsessive compulsive. I'm not as big of a jackass. I'm a little less of a jackass than I used to be. So I understand that, yeah, even if I didn't hit the exact move goal, in most cases, I on days I don't fully hit the 1,000 calorie move goal, there's some days where I'm like super active and I make up for it. And I know that even if the readout says like you missed this day, whatever, I know I'm moving in the right direction. So I really like the Apple Watch. I'm surprised. I thought I was going to be like, I got it just because I want to stay on top of trends and I want to a lot of you use it, and I want to be someone that can you can bounce ideas off of or get. You guys ask my opinion on stuff like this, and I always try to stay a little bit current with the trends and the tech, even though I'm more of a old school guy. I don't like a lot of tech into my workouts, but I would say bottom line, I think it's useful for beginners and analytical minds. I think it has a lot of value for desk jockeys who need those reminders to breathe and stand up and just move, and also trainers to help, you know, see through their body the movements that get the appropriate heart rate response. And it's really like, it's amazing. Like bicep curls, you'll never get your heart rate above 120 BPM, right? Smaller muscle groups, you know, slower movements, don't get your heart rate up as much. But larger muscle group movements or faster, more explosive movements, they do get your heart rate up more. But you can see that in real time. And I find a lot of value in it. And I feel like it's really benefited my programming and my own personal workouts. So to each his own. And I think they're great as long as you don't go OCD with it, right? If you're finding it's making you go crazy, then I would probably not incorporate it or just be very strategic and careful that it doesn't take over your life and you don't end up doing stationary running at fucking midnight and making your significant other, or as my wife calls it, SO, question the choices they've made in terms of choosing a life companion. Hope this helps, guys. Any more questions on wearables, let me know. Gary, I hope that helped too, and I'm anxious to hear about Freaknik, all right? Any questions you guys have, hit me on Anchor with a voice message like Gary did. Free app for Apple and Android devices. I'd love to get your voice on the podcast, and I will dedicate the episode to you. A 5-star rating and review in the iTunes store will change my life. And I appreciate you sharing your time and helping us get more in the rankings and spreading the word with good people like you. I want more like you. That's what I'm looking for. So spread the word. That means a ton to me. I'll keep putting more into this and keep up the frequency and the passion if you keep helping me spread the word. That's all I ask. And if you are looking to try the beta on my new training system and split, go to GorillaCornGains.com. Link in show notes. That's Gains with a Z. And you can join by the end of the month, September, before it's closed out for good for the rest of the year. And it'll be a different program next year anyway. So for those interested, and the clock is also ticking on my 37-year-old birthday sale at thedailybj.com to get 37% off the final 3 months of the year. For those looking to burn fat at home or on the road, minimal equipment, my best Metcon fat loss workouts that you'll find, my latest and greatest stuff. All right, guys. Love you. Peace.